I'll be the first to admit, I was a non-believer in the OT doctorate. I saw it as a way to force students to spend more time and money preparing them for the same jobs that they could get as master's-trained OTs. Now, I believe I was wrong. My personal experience mentoring an OTD capstone student, combined with my takeaways from this week's research, have converged to shift my perspective on this aspect of OT education. The article presents early stage research on the doctoral capstone experience and resulting employment opportunities. It backs up what I have observed as a capstone mentor, that doctoral students are uniquely prepared for more diverse job opportunities. Sometimes jobs are even created through the capstone experience. There also seems to be a benefit for the profession as a whole, especially in terms of increased awareness around occupational therapy, which, as we all know, is our Achilles heel. After we review this article, we'll be welcoming two guests to the podcast, our own capstone student, Alana Woolley, and her capstone coordinator, Dan Rortvedt. Our goal is to help you decide if you should be a capstone mentor and to offer three different perspectives on the experience overall. So let's dive in. Welcome to the OT Potential Podcast, where we review new and influential OT journal articles, then invite on expert guests to help us pull out actionable takeaways that you can implement in your practice starting today. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Lyon, OTRL. And before we dive into this topic of making the OTD capstone matter, I wanted to let you know that this podcast may qualify as continuing education for you. You are probably listening to this podcast on a free podcast platform, but to gain CEU credit, you will need to be a member of the OT Potential Club, our OT continuing education platform. Bearing in mind that this could count as a CEU course, I want to state our two learning objectives so you can be thinking about them throughout the podcast today. Our first learning objective is that you will be able to recognize how the OTD capstone experience can influence employment opportunities. Our second learning objective is that you will be able to identify how the OTD capstone can boost overall awareness of the OT profession. So let's begin by looking at this journal article, and then we will bring on Alana and Daniel to discuss how this could play out in your practice. The article that we are reviewing today is called An Exploration of the Occupational Therapy Doctoral Capstone, Perspectives from Capstone Coordinators, Graduates, and Site Mentors. This article comes to us from the Journal of Occupational Therapy Education, and it was published in 2022. So the article begins by answering the question, what is this occupational therapy doctoral capstone? Here in the United States, to practice as an occupational therapist, you must enter the field with either a doctorate or master's degree. And the number of entry-level doctoral programs has expanded rapidly. In 2015, there were 7 entry-level OTD programs. As of 2023, there are 95 with an additional 76 in development. That is clearly an explosion in the number of these doctoral entry-level programs versus the master's level programs. One of the key differences between master's and doctorate OT curriculum is the doctoral capstone experience. The purpose of the capstone is to provide in-depth exposure to one or more focus areas. These focus areas could include clinical practice skills, research, administration, leadership, program and policy development, advocacy, education, and theory development. The capstone is a full-time 14-week experience that can include on-site or off-site activities. In our show notes, I'll link to the full 2023 standards that come to us from ACOAT, and the standards around the capstone experience are in section D of these really long standards. So what research has already been done on the OT doctorate and capstone? In terms of salary, per the 2018-2019 AOTA Academic Programs Annual Data Report, 76% of OTD programs reported an average starting salary of $60,000 to $80,000 for their new graduates, compared to only 63% of graduates from master's programs. Furthermore, 19% of OTD programs reported an average starting salary of $80,000 to $100,000 for their graduates, compared to only 3% for master's programs. In terms of professional preparation, I'm going to link to a 2019 study that compared one university's master's and doctoral programs and found that OT graduates were significantly more likely to become educators, use evidence-based practice, conduct research, own a business, and be involved in professional activities such as presenting, publishing, or volunteering for professional organizations. While this data and research does seem promising, existing research remains limited. And it becomes even more limited when we hone in on research around the capstone experience specifically, which leads us to the intent of this research. So, what was the purpose of this paper? This study sought to describe the scope and efficacy of OT capstone projects and to provide insight into resulting employment opportunities and awareness levels. Perspectives for this study were gathered from capstone coordinators, OTD graduates, and capstone mentors. So, what were their methods to gather these perspectives? This was a cross-sectional descriptive design using a nationwide survey. Two of the authors designed three separate surveys to gain specific perspectives from students, coordinators, and mentors. Surveys were distributed throughout the United States. To generate quantitative results, the authors analyzed survey data using descriptive statistics in Microsoft Excel. Comments were analyzed using content analysis. So, what were their results? Surveys were collected from 10 capstone coordinators, collectively representing about 32 graduated cohorts and 996 students. They also received responses from 68 OTD graduates and 22 capstone site mentors. So, looking at the results specifically from the capstone coordinator survey, several stats stand out from the perspective of the capstone coordinator, and these include 117 of the students represented by the coordinators went on to obtain work in a setting related to their doctoral capstone. That's almost 12% of the students that were surveyed. Five coordinators reported positions being created as a direct result of the doctoral capstone, impacting a total of 31 graduates. Developed positions include adjunct professor, case manager, a community dog agility program role, day programs serving clients with dementia role, director, home modification / ergonomic consultant, a member of a pain clinic, and a therapist in an outpatient Tai Chi program, and a researcher role. Additional outcomes included students joining advocacy efforts, serving in roles not originally advertised to OTs, and becoming entrepreneurs. So, looking at the results from the site mentor survey, standout stats from these site mentors include 10 were occupational therapists and 12 were non-OTs. 95% said they were satisfied with the experience. 67% said they would mentor another student if given the opportunity. 100% of the professionals who were not OTs said the experience increased their awareness of occupational therapy. Collectively, the mentors said that 22 employees and 525 clients had the opportunity to learn more about occupational therapy as a result of the student's presence. After concluding their mentorship, 7 respondents said they consulted with an OT professional regarding expanding the role of OT at their site. One mentor reported creating a full-time position as a result of the capstone experience, and 2 mentors said that they applied for grant funding to support future positions for OTs. Though the majority of the survey results were positive, one mentor reported that the experience did not go as planned, saying, "We learned the hard way that it does not work to have an OTD student provide supportive services to the staff of the organization itself. It created or maybe just exacerbated internal division and conflict," end quote. Despite this negative experience, the mentor did state that they would be open to taking another OTD student and hiring an OT in the future. So, looking at the results from our third and final survey set, we'll look at the Capstone Student Survey. Surveyed graduates were from 6 states, representing all regions of the United States. Their capstones were carried out in 24 different states. Here's a breakdown of the capstone settings by number of graduates. In academia, there were 2 students. In community and non-traditional settings, there were 17 students. That is definitely the category with the highest representation. In home health or hospice, there were 2 students. In an inpatient hospital, there were 13. In long-term care, skilled nursing, or memory care, there were 5. In mental health, there were 4. In outpatient clinics, there were 11. In a research institution that was not academia, there were 2. In schools or early intervention, there were 6. In vocational rehab, there were 3. And in other healthcare settings, there were 2 students. Here are some of the standout statistics from the student survey. 35 were mentored by occupational therapists, and 26 were mentored by non-OTs, including a social worker slash case manager, a counselor, a PhD-level professional, a program consultant, an administrator, a PT, SLP, and facility owner. 91% of jobs obtained post-graduation were in traditional OT settings. The remaining 9% were jobs in non-traditional settings, including a business owner, a case tracker, a rehab technician, a program specialist, research faculty, school support staff, and a supervisor. 10 graduates obtained jobs in the setting where they conducted their capstone, and 6 of those jobs were newly created positions, and 3 related directly to the graduate's capstone. 8 graduates were working in positions not advertised specifically for OTs. 28 graduates reported working with the same population they focused on during their capstone, and 55% felt their capstone had impacted their employment. So headed into the discussion part of this article, in terms of employment, there are promising indicators that OTD graduates are using their OTD skills in innovative settings. Overall, 9% of OTD graduates went on to work in non-traditional settings. This is far above the rate of non-traditional employment identified in the more comprehensive AOTA workforce survey. Additionally, the high percentage of capstones completed in community settings aligns with the OT profession's push to move beyond the medical model in order to meet the needs of populations. In terms of OT awareness, even though the sample size for this study was small, the findings demonstrate an increase in knowledge about OT as a direct result of the capstone experience. The creation of new job opportunities for OTs is an especially exciting result of the increased awareness. So, what are the implications for occupational therapy? Occupational therapy educators can use this information when recruiting potential capstone site mentors. Educators can also continue collecting additional outcomes data related to the doctoral capstone with a goal of further understanding the relationship between the capstone experience and graduates' future practice settings, salaries, roles, and skills. So that wraps up our article review, and as you can hear from those implications, they were really directed at OT educators. But I believe that this information just has wide-ranging impact for occupational therapy as a whole, and is a lot for us to consider as clinicians, what our role is in this, and I think it helps us understand where OT is going. To unpack this information, I really wanted to bring in 3 perspectives to this podcast conversation. I am personally bringing the perspective of being a current capstone mentor, and we are welcoming to the podcast the student I am working with and her capstone coordinator. Alana Woolley is an OTD student. Alana is currently completing her final semester as an OTD student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She is partnered with OT Potential for her OTD capstone project, which focuses on knowledge translation and how continuing education courses can most effectively impact evidence-based practices in the clinic. Her research is aimed at understanding and tackling the barriers that practitioners face when it comes to transforming new information into clinical action, and draws heavily on universal design for learning principles and adult learning theory, in addition to classical models and frameworks. We are also welcoming Daniel Rortvedt, MS OTD OTRL. Dan is the doctoral capstone coordinator and clinical assistant professor in the occupational therapy program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He was previously an assistant professor in the Master of Occupational Therapy program at Elmhurst University. He completed his post-professional doctorate in occupational therapy at Boston University, a master's in occupational therapy at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and his bachelor's in English and psychology, again from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He has practiced widely as an occupational therapist and assistive technology consultant. He owned and operated Designed for Access, providing consultation and training for school districts and organizations with regard to assistive technology and telehealth provision. Dan serves on the editorial board of WORK, a journal of prevention, assessment, and rehabilitation, and holds part-time appointment in the online post-professional occupational therapy doctorate program at Boston University. So without further ado, I will patch Dan and Alana into this podcast. It's so great to have you on the podcast, Dan and Alana. I am going to have you start by saying your name and your title, and Dan, we'll start with you.
Sounds great. Hi, everybody. My name is Dan Rorkvet. I am a clinical assistant professor and the doctoral capstone coordinator at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in our entry-level OTD program. Great to be here.
And I am Alana Woolley. I'm an OTD capstone student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I'm paired with OT Potential for my capstone project.
I am just so thankful to have you both today. When I first got Alana as a capstone student, I never saw doing a podcast. I think because in my mind, the capstone was like a glorified fieldwork. And I'm like, oh, all OTs know what the fieldwork experience is. But really quickly, I was just completely surprised. I was like, this is not a fieldwork experience. This is something completely different. It's really subverted my expectations. So I wanted to have you both on to talk about this capstone experience and what you've learned from it and how you see it shaping our profession. But before we get into all that, I want to just hear a little bit more background about both of you. And starting with you, Dan, just how did you become a capstone coordinator? There's a lot of new capstone coordinator positions around the country. How did you end up in one?
Sure. I've been in OT academia since 2018. I started off in a master's program at Elmhurst University and had the opportunity in 2021 to join the developing entry-level OTD program here at UW-Madison. We had transitioned from a long-standing master's program and were building out the OTD curriculum and had the opportunity to join as capstone coordinator at that time. It was a really exciting time to join the team because we built out the capstone course structure, sort of envisioned how that looked in the context of our curriculum, starting to think about the structure for community partnerships. And that was really intriguing to me. I'm also a UW-Madison alum, so it was exciting to join the program where I was once an OT student. So far, I'll say more about this too, like the details of capstone, but it's been very rewarding so far just to be able to connect with capstone coordinators across the country via AOTA. You mentioned there are a lot of newer and developing programs and some that have been around for a while, just to continue to sketch out what capstone looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, capstone just seems like, or being a mentor, it's been such a fun and rewarding experience. So it seems like a fun position to be the coordinator of all those experiences.
It really is. It's exciting.
Alana, tell us a little bit about you and your capstone project that you're doing now.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm partnered with OT Potential, and my project's focus areas are in education and leadership/advocacy. And I feel like I've been discovering what capstone is just going through this process. I mean, we can talk about it as much as we want before diving in, but it still feels like a bit of a mystery until you're doing it. Sarah and I first connected about a year ago now, just to kind of, you know, build some rapport and start planting some seeds of what this idea, for ideas of what this project could be. And then in the fall, you know, conducted a really broad needs assessment and started laying the groundwork for creating knowledge translation tools, really focusing on, you know, I saw OT Potential playing a really important role in knowledge translation, but I was really curious about what was happening with that knowledge after it left OT Potential. Like, what are clinicians and the audience doing with that information. So what the actual kind of end product is has kind of evolved as the project has gone on, but we're really focusing on knowledge translation and empowering clinicians to extend their knowledge even further to their colleagues and clients and communities.
There's so much I want to say about this capstone experience, and we'll get to different parts of it during this conversation. But I want to shoot us right into this article because I think this sets such an interesting stage. Thinking about the capstone experience, both the benefit for the students and the benefit for the profession at large. What stood out to you two from this article? I think starting with you, Alana.
I was really excited about the idea of building exposure to occupational therapy in non-traditional and even non-clinical spaces. I'm pursuing OT as a second career, so I'm coming from a non-healthcare kind of space. And I've always thought that the OT lens of enabling occupations is so important outside of just healthcare and clinical practice. Like, I think we recognize that some of the biggest barriers that clients face to full participation in their meaningful occupations are environmental and really require social and structural change that doesn't always feel possible in that individual clinical role. But OTs have to be in those spaces in order to have a seat at the table. So I kind of see these capstone experiences as like a soft launch of OT into these spaces that might not have had any exposure before. And I think it's encouraging that the supervisors, the non-OT supervisors in the study, all walked away with at least a better understanding of OT. And many of them even, you know, were willing to go the extra mile to carve out positions to bring OTs into their organization. So that's something that's exciting to me.
I was really surprised how many supervisors were not OTs. Like, I knew there was a pathway for that, but I was, just surprised how many non-OT supervisors there were. And the article didn't mention this, but there's also international mentors too. Like, there's a pathway for that. So that right away to me makes this experience really different from field work and a great experience for the students and a really interesting like awareness opportunity for our profession overall. What stood out to you, Dan?
A lot of things stood out, and I appreciate what Alana mentioned about just the opportunity for Capstone to pilot some ideas, like for a partner organization, for students, and partially for the profession as a whole, to sort of live in that space of what would this look like if we were in this space as a profession. And then even more specifically, I think what this article starts to plant the seeds for is some evidence to support pragmatic outcomes, like real takeaways, like students getting jobs and finding alignment in their careers with some of these capstone experiences that are non-traditional or that, we have to sort of think outside of the box to think about the connection to occupational therapy as a profession, you know, because we're holistic, because our scope is quite wide at times, it can be difficult to hone in on what are those pragmatic takeaway skills. And I always try to highlight for students just the process of learning how to collaborate with a community partner, learning how to be flexible, learning how to use your skills and interests in the moment to adapt to the needs of an ongoing collaboration. That in itself is such an important, complex, dynamic skill set that I think we're starting to see some evidence that there are outcomes of that and that there are positive outcomes of that, of being able to stretch those muscles as part of Capstone, things that we hope students will then use throughout their careers.
One of the ways I, before this experience, would have coached people, and I'm sorry to anyone who I said this to, but I would have said, only get the OTD if you are going into academia. Like, that is what it sets you up for. And now after having Alana and reading this paper, I'm like, I totally disagree with that. I think the OTD sets you up more quickly to head into like an in-depth employment opportunity or like a higher level employment opportunity than the master's does. I don't know. Do you think that? Do other people think what I thought? And I don't know. Yeah.
I can respond, Alana. If you have thoughts too, chime in. But I tend to agree with you, and I imagine people probably have a similar thought process. And honestly, it's something that I sort of intuitively thought, but didn't recognize until I was in this capstone coordinator role and start to see, you know, the actual real outcomes of some of that complex work. And then one of the other components here is I'm also trying to think about the profession and where we'll be in 5 years, 10 years. You know, I'm sure that there are OT roles that none of us have envisioned yet that will become opportunities in the future that if we develop students with these skills in being able to adapt and be dynamic collaborators, they might be able to fill needs that we don't even know what those needs are at this point in time. But no, I agree with you.
Alana, do you feel like the experience is setting you on a unique career track? Like, I see that for you. Is that what you're experiencing?
I feel that for myself. I think maybe not immediately. Like, one of the biggest criticisms I hear of the doctorate program and the capstone is that you're not going to be any more prepared for clinical practice on day one than a master's student, which I think is probably true. But what I see this as setting me up for is my second job, third job, fourth job. Like, I'm thinking about positions beyond just clinical roles, which I think are super important. But I think it's setting me up for a very different career trajectory, even if on day one in my first job, you know, I'm equally prepared with those clinical skills and professional skills as a master's student.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I project for you, like working in a traditional setting to start with, but that this experience sets you up to move up more quickly. Because even though your clinical skills might match a master's student, I think you'll come in with a lens that's so much broader because of this third in-depth experience.
Or even thinking about what I could do with a clinical role, even if I don't have a formal leadership position, I feel like I have new skills that I am excited to apply to, you know, my very first job after graduation.
I want to talk through just like the overall process of the capstone and kind of like give advice along the way as we talk about it. And starting with choosing the right focus area and mentor, and maybe Alana, start us off and just share what that process looked like and then what advice you would have from the learnings of it.
Sure. So Dan can explain a little bit more about how our program might be different than other programs in that I wasn't going out and selecting my own mentors, but I did choose my own focus areas for this project. And again, mine are in education and leadership advocacy. And I can, you know, speak to my own considerations when choosing those. I'm sure everybody has different preferences and there's such a big variety in what capstone projects can be. But I, coming in with skills from a different career, I felt like I wasn't utilizing a lot of the skills that I had already built in communication arts and education and content design. So I really wanted to kind of build on those skills and weave them into my OT career. And then I was also thinking about the skills that I felt like I wasn't very competent in and wanted to develop more while I had the mentorship and guidance of being in grad school. So yeah, both taking the skills I already had and wanted to build on and thinking about the skills that I wanted to build is how I kind of landed on education and then both leadership and advocacy. I think having a break after undergrad, I was really kicking myself a lot for not taking advantage of all of the resources and opportunities that I had as a student. So coming back to graduate school, I really wanted to take advantage of opportunities that I didn't think I would be able to get in an entry-level clinical role.
Yeah, definitely. Even in now talking to future mentees as a mentor, the questions I'm asking are like, what do you bring already to the table? And what do you want to build on? Kind of both, like you said, kind of both spectrums of like, what are you already good at? What do you want to learn? And how can we mesh those together in this project? I think is a really helpful way to think about it. Dan, what have you learned from seeing this play out multiple times? Like, what advice do you have for finding that right focus area and mentor for the students?
Sure. I want to build on what Alana said and then also honor Sarah. I love what you just mentioned, and I describe the capstone process all the time as like this Venn diagram of a student's interests, community partners' needs, and then we're trying to find that overlap in, you know, skill set, strengths, areas for growth. Our capstone process at UW-Madison is a little bit unique in that, as Alana mentioned, we don't have our students go out and seek a site or seek a mentor. We have our students submit their preferences for focus area. We think about geographical considerations. And then we find the best match for students based on a curated list. We sort of call it our capstone preferences menu. So we've sort of curated our mentors, our sites. We have an inkling that there is a need that a student could fill at these capstone sites. And then everything else follows from the needs assessment, the lit review, the precise capstone planning that happens prior to the experience itself. So I say that because my answer here is probably a little bit different than for an OTD program where students are finding their own mentor, finding their own site. But on this question, I always encourage students to think broadly. Try to keep an open mind. And that's a mantra in OT education and probably lots of educational programs. Like, keep an open mind around your interests and how they might change. Because of where students rank their focus areas for us, a lot of times that happens before they're out on their level two fieldwork placements. So students have almost just this real craving for clinical practice and carrying a caseload and what that feels like at the time when they submit their preferences. And I would say what I find, you know, so far, and we're just a couple of cohorts in, but what I'm really starting to notice is that when students begin their level two placements, they get that experience, then they're ready for thinking about the systems level or thinking about, well, I feel like I could improve this process at my fieldwork site. And then those wheels are turning around, you know, what capstone can and should look like. So I encourage students to think broadly, keep an open mind, and then also to think long-term about their professional goals and interests. Because, you know, as we've mentioned here, the skill set that you're developing on capstone, it's a lifelong skill. You may return to that 5 years down the road into your career or further on. So that's a challenging thing to do, but as much as you can as a student to think down the road, you know, what position might you like to grow into, and using that to frame your focus area preferences, I think can be really helpful. So encouraging students to think beyond the practice setting or the population, that's usually where students start, which is important as well. Like, you know, I'm really passionate about working with older adults, or I really want to do my capstone in a NICU setting. And then my question back to students is always to have them explore the why, like get a little bit deeper with that. Is it that you want to collaborate with older adult clients in the context of a one-on-one OT session? Is it that you want to advocate for reimbursement for OT professionals who are conducting skilled services with older adults? Is it that you want to train OT students about this area of practice? So thinking broadly about focus areas can really help with the next steps in the matching process.
When I said yes to being a capstone mentor, I was picturing it being like being a fieldwork educator, which to me, when you're a fieldwork educator, there's like a very clear path. I almost feel like 95% of the student's time, like you're helping to guide, and a very small part of their time is self-directed. But as a capstone mentor, Alana's so much more self-directed. Like 95% of her time is probably self-directed. Like it's such a different role. And honestly, I don't think I knew what I was saying yes to. And to start with, I felt like I was doing something wrong because I expected to feel more like a fieldwork educator.
Sure.
What advice do you have to people like me who are serving as mentors? Like, when is it a good fit? And when should you say no to being a mentor?
It's a great question. And I want to start off by thanking you, Sarah, for A, taking our student, and for B, also for your trust, because it is, you know, it's a little bit of a gray line as far as, you know, what it looks like. I think one of the distinctions I try to make with potential mentors is talking about this act of supervision, like that thing of supervision that you might deliver on a level two fieldwork placement I almost said mentor, but as a supervisor in that context, right? Whereas mentorship is more of a coaching role, sometimes a little bit what seems more like hands-off, but autonomy, self-direction, some of those skills are what manifest in that capstone setting. So that supervision versus mentorship line is, it's somewhat drastic, and it's a little bit hard to define until you've started to live it a little bit. So I appreciate you sharing that experience. And also thanks for your trust and jumping on board with us for the capstone. I think it's a great way to frame this question as far as, you know, certainly we need Capstone mentors as a profession. We students have Capstone experiences. We need mentors to take those students. But it should be a mindful decision. And that's part of the way that we've set it up at UW-Madison is we want this to be based in a real need within the community. We don't ever want partner sites to feel like they're taking a student when they don't have the bandwidth to take a student, you know, mentorship-wise or otherwise. As you've kind of pointed out, and I've seen multiple examples of this, mentoring a Capstone student can really be a transformative experience. It can be almost like a peer-to-peer collaboration experience. I'm hearing many examples of that within our current cohort, but it is a commitment. Comes along with that, quite a commitment. So I would encourage potential mentors to make sure that their passion and capacity to mentor is grounded in thinking sustainably, thinking about their readiness to commit for the mentorship period. It is just 14 weeks, but you know that can be a lift. So even if you're not considering it for now, consider it for the future. Maybe talk with your organization. You could shape your role potentially to set yourself up for success in taking and mentoring a student. And it can be transformative for mentors and also for the partner sites as well. So last quick plug, and I try to mention this to our students, is we try to mention to our students early on to think about mentoring a student when they're out there in the OT world, so that we can keep this cycle going as much as we can. So it's a great question to be thinking about.
Yeah, it seems like the goal of the Capstone is that in-depth learning. And for me as a mentor, it was just surprising how quickly Alana like knew more about the subject matter than I did, even though I was the mentor. And even though it wasn't a big time commitment, like the emotional commitment of I'm mentoring someone who's just going so in depth and like having to expand my horizons that way, I think I would relate that to being like, if you aren't ready to like go in depth to something, don't take a student because it's going to push you beyond where you're at now. And I think sometimes when you're working, you're open to being pushed and ready to be pushed. And sometimes you're just like treading water, surviving, and it would be annoying to have someone pushing you to think more expansively. So that's the self-check I would give to thinking about being a mentor. If you're not ready to be pushed and expanded, wait for the next student.
That's such a great piece of advice. And I've actually, now that you say that, I've experienced that as well. I have a couple of Capstone students where I'm their site mentor. And it really is that experience of the students know more about this subject than I do. And that becomes part of the mentorship structure in that they are taking the lead. You know, the way that I'm framing my guidance in our check-in meetings is not here's the answer, but I would love to know what you've learned about this and maybe, you know, coach or provide some feedback. But really it is, you know, the students in the driver's seat, that's the goal at Capstone. And I think that is a unique way of being, you know, as a professional, and it's a skill set just as much as anything else is to sort of learn what that looks like and to be a little bit vulnerable as far as admitting some of the unknowing and allowing students to take the lead and run with that. So I think that's something that I hadn't concretely thought of, but it's so important for mentors to consider.
Yeah. Yeah. If you function best in like a hierarchy and being at the top,
sure,
maybe you should take fieldwork students or someone who's really clinically focused where you're trying to build up a specialty skill set.
I think that's good advice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alana, how has your time on this Capstone experience felt different than the rest of your time as a student?
It has definitely felt very different, both from the rest of my education and from fieldwork experiences too. I think this whole Capstone year has been different in that we've really shifted focus to more of those, you know, systems level considerations, thinking about leadership and trends in the profession. And like Dan said, really taking a zoomed out view of occupational therapy as a profession beyond just those clinical skills. And for me, I think the biggest difference is that self-directed learning. It really feels more like a process of discovery and kind of working through those challenges myself or trying to, you know, seek answers from experts rather than having a set of standards or a curriculum that I'm just trying to, you know, check the boxes and make sure I'm competent in. Where fieldwork really felt like I was learning how to, like, what OTs do You're just kind of getting those basics and, you know, getting the practice of being a clinician and taking on a caseload, whereas Capstone really feels like we're exploring what OTs could do beyond those clinical roles, which is, you know, the bread and butter of what OTs do. But I think there's so much room for advancement of the profession outside of what you're learning in field work. So self-directed learning has definitely been the biggest change. And I think it's really exciting for me as a learner to kind of dive in and know that, oh, if there's not an answer to this question or we don't have the thing that people need, we can just create it. And we can just go out and find people who know more about it than I do and talk to them about it rather than, you know, having a set standard of what I need to learn and checking off those boxes.
Yeah, the self-directedness of it has really stood out to me to the point where I'm like, if you're listening to this and choosing between a master's and a doctorate in OT, like if you're not self-directed, get a master's, like, because that just seems like such a huge part of this experience. And the other thing that stood out to me is just your capacity to create a really useful project. I think when we started working together, I was picturing you creating like a 30-page document that I would file away, which I think a lot of times on fieldworks, you create a project, but it's so hard to actually create something useful in that time that lots of times those projects don't actually end up getting used. But your ability, the time and space that Capstone allows you to go in depth and that we have the flexibility to really create something that is useful feels really unique and, yeah, really unique to me.
And I don't think you have to pursue the highest degree in order to be able to do that, but I think having the context of mentorship and a partnership with a community partner, I don't think I would have been able to do this project just on my own, even though I had, you know, some of the skills and knowledge. Just doing it within the context of the Capstone is really supportive.
And just real briefly, one of the benefits of how we set up our Capstone structure is that we do hope to send students year to year to our Capstone sites to help sketch out what you're talking about, Sarah, in fulfilling a real long-term need for our community partners. Again, we never want to be a burden, but if partners are open to taking students year to year, that's a way that we can, as a program, help carve out meaningful progress toward those goals. Think about sustainability. As you mentioned, that's really our goal and value, is we want it to integrate with our community partners' workflow and to sort of address the ongoing need if we can. So I think that's a benefit of having that ongoing structure as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to me, this is part of why I want all OT professionals, no matter what degree level they're at, just to know about what's happening on Capstone and what's being created, because it's such a benefit overall to our profession. Like, the potential is just like incredible to think about how much these doctoral students can be influencing clinical practice and the growth of our profession and OT breaking into non-traditional roles. Like, it really surpassed my expectation of what this Capstone experience entailed, for sure. Dan, in the Capstone experience, I feel like I have totally rosy glasses because I've had such a great experience. But as we saw in the article there, of course, when you're pairing people for an experience, things can go wrong. And as a mentor, I think you're always worried about, like, what if I mess up or derail this student's learning somehow? What are some of the pitfalls? I think especially from the mentor's perspective that we should be thinking about and trying to avoid. Mm-hmm. On the experience.
I think one of the things is, if it's an assumption that you're on your own as a mentor, that's not the case. You'll have the support of the OT academic program. Each of our students, again, every program is a little bit different with this, but each of our students has a Capstone site mentor, and then they also have a faculty Capstone mentor who is in our OTD program, who is mentoring the academic side of the work and another person in that student's corner. So you really aren't on your own as a mentor. You have support of the educational institution that you're attached to. And again, the students are very autonomous students at this point in their careers in the curriculum. I always say they're this close, just putting a centimeter of space between my two fingers to say they're that close to entry-level practice. So you do have that support of the student as well. And you can always reach out for support. That structure, our Capstone students are in a course at the time of their Capstone experience. As Capstone coordinator and as mentors, we have also a layer of oversight over what students are working on, and helping to curate and make sure that they're on track with their objectives. And the beauty of Capstone is the planning process starts so early, and that the needs assessment, the literature review, the plan for Capstone is signed off on by all mentors prior. So we do have a really good idea and are able to be proactive about problems that might arise on Capstone and be able to be proactive about problem solving some of those. So I think that's one of the pitfalls, is maybe thinking that there's, you know, that you're on your own as a mentor, because it is autonomous. You do have that layer of support. One of the other things that we talked about, and I think is a pitfall to mention, is potentially seeing Capstone as like a third fieldwork experience. And again, it's really difficult to show potential mentors that, other than sharing examples of how it can play out. But it really is different. It's a deep dive. In a lot of ways, it's more divergent than convergent, and you know, there are a lot of unknowns and opportunities that students can capitalize on that that look a little bit different than the structure of a level two fieldwork experience. So encouraging mentors, students, and others to think widely and broadly about what Capstone can be for the profession. We have a lot of flexibility in our standards, and that our mentors can be interprofessional mentors. There's, you know, they need to have area of expertise, content area expertise, but there's no predefined degree level or profession level that Capstone mentors need to have. So I think that's really a benefit and an opportunity for Capstone as a whole. And then finally, just I think not necessarily a pitfall, but a piece of advice to students and mentors, just to trust and be open to the process as it unfolds, and sort of trust the process and trust the proactive elements that go into planning Capstone. And not everything will be successful, but as we know, as OT professionals, you can learn something from anything that happens. If it's not good intervention, it's good evaluation. I had an OT mentor tell me that once, and I agree with that. We learn something even if we make a mistake. So trust that process if you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the flexibility of the Capstone experience that comes from like the process is what I think surprised me the most as a mentor. Like in the needs assessment, Alana like picked up on something different than I would have. And then I think as I was thinking about her project, I was thinking of like, this isn't actually going to be useful. Let's make something internal that we can hide away and file away when she's done. Like, which there's value to students creating things, but I was like, oh, we have the flexibility to make something really useful and public facing, and so I think we like switched objectives early on in the process as we based on what the needs assessment was, and also based on like me understanding more the capacity of what was going on. So, and that feels really different than fieldwork, where there is just like more flexibility and you're following a process and there's people behind the scenes then to help you like change the official objectives. And yeah, it's been a really interesting and fun process. The article talks so much about like the ripple effect of the awareness about OT. This is another question I think for you, Dan, like, have you seen that in the different Capstone sites that you've worked with, just an increased awareness of our profession?
Absolutely. And we anticipated that when we sketched it out, just because we do have several Capstone sites that aren't traditional OT spaces. We have several where there are no OTs on site. So we anticipated that, but it's really been interesting to see it come to fruition in that folks are sharing, oh, that's what OT is, or they're really starting to understand the value of having potentially an occupational therapist on site. That's a two-sided coin, though, in that it's complicated to articulate a need for a profession or a professional, and then to not have, you know, sometimes the feasibility short-term of hiring an occupational therapist, or, you know, identifying a need and then there being a space in between filling that that gap. So what we're trying to think about intentionally is sending capstone students, but trying not to leave gaps in programming. And again, think long-term about how we can meet that need and collaborate with our community partner organizations to help them understand what it might look like to bring an OT on board in some capacity, you know, whatever capacity that might be. So I think it's been a benefit and a ripple effect for sure. And it's not one that you know, comes without other implications that need some problem solving to think about. If we're demonstrating our value, how are we going to live up to that? How are we going to help our community partners in the capstone space? Like, here's this great profession. Here's this great thing that a capstone student can do. We'll see you again in 9 months. You know, that's what we want to avoid, because capstone's 14 weeks and our capstone community partners operate 12 months a year, you know, 365 days a year. So how do we think intentionally about that sustainability and articulate the value for OT while also helping to fill that need? It's something we need to keep on our radar.
How can the capstone process be improved? You can answer this either like systemically or just like individually. So many more people are going through this process. It's overall like a new thing in OT education. How can it be better, starting with you, Alana?
I want to see more capstone projects. I think as a student who didn't have, we're the first doctorate cohort in our program since we shifted from the master's program. And so I don't have a cohort above me to look to for examples. And I found it really hard to find examples out there of not just the capstone product, like what the student made, but what that whole process was like. So I would love to see more opportunities for not even formal dissemination, but really informal dissemination of capstone projects and findings to community members, community sites, and to students. I think there's a lot of great innovative ideas that, like Dan said, kind of fall flat when the capstone semester ends, because then the student leaves the site and they move on to their career. So then new students come and it's like you have to reinvent the wheel every single project. Whereas I think if we were a little bit better about communicating the projects and getting them out there for people to see, there'd be less need to start all over. And you could really build off of existing initiatives and really build off of community identified needs if communities know what Capstone has to offer.
Mm-hmm. As a clinician to students and Capstone coordinators too, I also want to reiterate, like, we want to see your projects. I think clinicians get a bad rap, or like the stereotype is like, you go out and see clinicians and they're not doing what we learned in school. But as a clinician, you're like, well, we don't get to see what you're learning in school. Like, that is not fair to us. And sharing capstones is an opportunity for us to get a peek into what students are learning. And I think, like, could help solve this age-old problem in our profession. So, yes, please share what you're doing, because clinicians want to see it. I know that's not the point of Capstone, but that helps us tremendously, too. What about you, Dan?
I agree with you and Alana here. I think building off of existing initiatives, one of the, I guess, complexities of Capstone is each year we need to do a new needs assessment, new literature review in which the student would conduct. So sort of making it new for that student, doing a deep dive again into the needs of the organization while simultaneously building on what's been done before, I think would continue to make it very impactful. The way that we set up our Capstone curriculum affords that opportunity to build year to year and to think about that iterative process. I really think just zooming out and thinking about Capstone and its potential as a whole can be really helpful in improving it and thinking long-term about the Capstone. So we're not just sending students to meet that need, to fill that gap, but thinking about it more comprehensively. And I agree wholeheartedly with this idea of sharing knowledge between students and sites. I think Capstone lives on that gray area between academia and clinical practice. You know, it really pragmatically does. It's literally on that line. And there's so much opportunity in that space that we could capitalize on.
Based on both your learnings, what's your number one piece of advice to either a mentor or a student or the team? Alana, starting with you.
I have two, even though you asked for one. One just made me think of it from the last part of this conversation is that you do not have to have it all figured out on day one as a student. And in fact, you might have an excellent idea, but you shouldn't come in on day one thinking that you're going to just do that idea. It really does evolve and get shaped by your interactions with the community and the members. I think I interviewed some OT potential members as part of the needs assessment, and I feel like that totally shifted how I was thinking about this project and what I could offer that would actually be valuable to the community, even if it wasn't my original idea. And my second piece of advice would be to do it together. Capstone feels very independent and self-directed in a lot of ways, but just because you're working on it as an individual student doesn't mean that you are alone. I have been so pleasantly surprised. I think coming from a different career that was a little bit more competitive and individualistic, whereas OTs, I feel, are just all on the same team and they really want to help each other. And it feels like we're all working towards improving the lives of the people that we work with and improving the profession. And so reach out, ask for help, ask for feedback. I think OTs are more than willing to help each other out and contribute to these kinds of projects, especially when we're thinking more broadly about how we're advancing the profession. And so don't be afraid to ask for help and lean on your communities, because there's a lot of expertise out there that you can tap into.
Yeah. That surprised me in the mentor role, where I feel like a lot of the like really great advice you've gotten hasn't actually been from me. It's just been from me being like, oh, I know this person that you should talk to. And just always being amazed at how willing the OT community is to share and to make those connections and have those conversations. So that's definitely been fun. Dan, what's your piece of advice?
Keep an open mind. As cliche as that sounds, you know, be open to possibilities. And this goes for students, for mentors, be open to possibilities and be ready to capitalize on those as you're planning Capstone, during the Capstone experience, after Capstone. Try to sit with some of that ambiguity, be okay with some of that unknowing. Again, trust yourself, trust the Capstone process, sort of lean into those aspects of being and becoming that are part of our profession of occupational therapy, and just be ready for a transformative and meaningful experience. It won't be without road bumps, but I think anything is figure outable is a good mantra to have with this, and be open to those possibilities.
For our closing thoughts today, I just want to like zoom out big picture and ask what you hope to see from the Capstone moving forward and how, in terms of how it affects and uplifts our profession. Like, I have been so impressed by the process. I think it's unique from what other professions are doing. I think it plays this just potentially really critical and needed role of almost like I see our Capstone students as knowledge translators, I guess, in a way where they're able to like really dive into a topic and help distill it. And that, I guess, is a role that's missing a lot of the times that Capstone students can really fulfill. But for you both, what's your hope for Capstone as we head into the next 5 to 10 years?
I can start us off with an idea, and this is, again, it's sort of zooming us out a little bit in a good way and thinking about Capstone across different educational institutions. This is something that American Occupational Therapy Association, we have an ad hoc Capstone coordinator sustainability group who is thinking about for Capstone programs who have Capstone at a different time of the year. Like ours is always in spring. For other programs, it's always in fall. How can we talk to one another and potentially meet needs across the country and beyond, amongst our OT Capstone programs throughout different educational institutions? I think that's something that will continue to be so important when we think about this long-term value of Capstone and integrating, you know, lots of complex work that's happening across several organizations and looking for overlaps and looking for synergies and partnerships that could fit. I think I'm really excited to see how that plays out. And as we share more about what students are doing on Capstone, what mentors are learning on Capstone, I think that becomes easier and easier to bring those folks together to have these aha moments of, oh, I could integrate that within my community, or a capstone student would be really helpful. I didn't realize that that could be a capstone. You know, that would work really well here. So I think just opening the floor for those conversations could be really transformative and help demonstrate the distinct value of capstone on that higher level across our profession.
Alana, how about you? How do you see this capstone experience hopefully expanding our profession over the next 5 to 10 years? I feel like I've seen such a glimmer of it in your work of how this experience could expand your career potential in all these different trajectories. Yeah, what's your hope for capstone for us as a profession?
Yeah, I think for me, it's definitely expanded my understanding of occupational therapy as a profession. And I hope that my project is also expanding what occupational therapy as a profession has to offer. I don't think that every OT needs to have a doctorate degree to become a fantastic or effective clinician, but I do think that occupational therapy as a profession needs doctoral level students and capstone projects to keep expanding where OTs are, what we're doing, and how we can influence beyond that individual relationship.
Mm. Yeah, that syncs it up in my mind too, where I'm looking at this experience and being like, I hope everyone in our profession gets really excited about what our OTD students are doing. I say that as a master's trained clinician, but I hope there can just be this awareness and this coordination around the capstone, because it is unique, it is needed, and I hope it gets shared. And I guess to push mentors and mentees, take the time to create something useful. This is such a unique opportunity. Make something useful and share it. So, well, thank you so much, both of you, for being here for this conversation. I feel like we're only touching the tip of the iceberg, but it was so helpful to hear from both of your perspectives, and I know will help a lot of people who listen to this. So thank you for the time.
Thank you for partnering with us for Capstone, and great work, Alana.
And this is very special for me to have both of you together on this conversation. You're both just fantastic role models to me, so special to be here.
This is such a cool opportunity, and just, you know, this is what Capstone is, are these types of conversations.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both.
Thanks.
Wow, you all, I am so jazzed up about this topic. I hope this episode has helped you to understand the potential impact of the Capstone, both for the individual student, but also just for our profession at large. I have a couple action steps for you after listening that we've been working on at OT Potential. First, I encourage you to check out our Capstone catalog at OT Potential. For free, you can see examples of what Capstone experiences and projects look like and sort through them. And for 2024, students can upload an overview of their Capstone again for free. If you have any interest in being a Capstone mentor, you can tag that on our OT directory and give a brief description of what type of project you would like to mentor. As always, I really want to hear your feedback and thoughts on this episode. If you are a casual listener, we would love a review from you. You can now review us on Google from our homepage, or we always appreciate your comments on our YouTube video. But the best place to really discuss today's topic is in the OT Potential Club. I'll be watching for your comments in our forum. And if you are interested in earning a CEU certificate for your time today, what you are going to do next is head to otpotential.com and either sign in or sign up for the OT Potential Club. Once you are in there, you can take a 5-question test, and when you pass, we will generate a certificate for your time today. Okay, I want to thank you so much for being here today for this discussion. I hope this podcast helps keep you informed and inspired as an OT professional. Take care, and we'll talk next time.